why we're doing the show again, juxtaposing Fahrenheit 9/11, because it's just amazing evidence. And that is that the most grievous error we made after 9/11 was that heads did not rule.
Not holding anybody accountable.
Nobody is accountable. And here we are in July, and we have all these expensive commissions. Nobody is accountable. So we're going to explore the CIA's own dire warning that heads have to roll or we're in trouble.
Right.
That's what I get from this, and this is what we've been saying for 7 years. Now the CIA, Mike of the CIA, is saying exactly what Mike of the Expert Witness Show is saying, and that is that you guys, you listeners, have got to do something to end run this media and spread the alarm. Heads have to roll. Now, having said that, we're going to play for you some evidence about some of the heads that have to roll in Central Intelligence itself that haven't rolled. In fact, the same leadership is still there, and if Bush continues in the White House, will continue.
Well, George Tenet's head rolled, but only for political expediency, not for past incompetence, right?
Yeah, he lasted through the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, and...
But his head has rolled.
He's resigned. He just became a lightning rod, and President Bush, I assume, I don't know what the deal is. Last year, this is the same President Bush that you heard our last week's show, or you saw Fahrenheit 9/11. As 9/11 was being attacked, he sat there reading Dodo the Duck. What was the book?
Oh, no, my pet goat.
This is on film. You've got to see this. You just see this, and you can't vote for the man. You've got to run away.
Answer.
Yes, answer.
Last week was...
Who is Ellie?
Prince
Bandai. I don't know what's real.
What happened that night, David? Somebody died.
I don't want to remember.
That there's a journalistic convention that when you mention George Bush, you have to mention in the same paragraph his vision or his dream or... And there's usually a picture accompanying it of George Bush staring off into the distance at his vision with his eyes narrowed and so on. One interesting thing about these visions and dreams is that although we're supposed to worship them, no one has a clue what they are. You know, nothing is ever said about what the vision is, and that's important. The public relations people understand that.
You understand you hold the keys to this prison.
It wasn't so real.
Who was it?
No.
Who was it?
No!
One by one.
Well, yes, that's true. According to an anonymous manuscript that everybody later based their techniques on.
Screaming, clawing at the wallpaper, because when these little children, you see, closed their eyes at night, they dreamt only of murder over and over, one after the other. And it didn't take long for us to realize that the real nightmare was that these so-called dreams were about to come true. These murders were actually happening.
You're about to tell me. Tell me.
disruptive, revolutionary change and will not happen overnight. You is at least determined to begin those first steps so that by 2050, that kind of regime's in place.
Sunday drive. Sometimes it was really a Sunday, sometimes not. But it was always going on a Sunday drive.
Why don't you think we're doing that in this country on that level?
I think that President Bush is so yoked to the fossil fuel and nuclear interest to begin with that he wants to bring us into a hydrogen future, but he doesn't want to leave the fossil fuel and nuclear past. So in a sense, he's trying to capture hydrogen for the old interests. And you can see it in the energy bill. You know, a couple billion to extract nuclear, experimentally from nuclear or coal or gas or oil. Very little money into renewable energy. I think that's where his administration, the way they think and how they approach it. The sad part is that if they continue along this line and actually create an R&D program and an infrastructure based on extracting hydrogen from the old industries, the United States could well be a secondary power by mid-century, because really the future is moving toward renewables. The real problem in the short run is cost. That's the key problem. It's expensive generating hydrogen with renewable energy. But what the EU, I think, understands is there's two bell curves here. The cost of oil and gas are going to go up in 30 years as we head toward global peak in oil production. Meanwhile, the cost of renewable energies, Moore's Law has set in. We're doubling the knowledge base and halving the cost every 18 months, similar to software in the biotech revolution. Economies of scale will mean that these new technologies for extracting hydrogen will be cheaper. And the fuel cell's 2.5 times more efficient than the internal combustion engine. So there's really two curves. Oil and gas will continue to go up on world markets. The cost of renewable technologies to extract hydrogen from water are going to go down. And when the two curves start to approach each other, then we're going to start to see a dramatic acceleration into the new energy regime, but only if government is engaged with the private sector to do it. There's no way to do it without some kind of public-private partnership.
Inside this coffee house because I want one of those caramel frappuccino things. When I was informed that it's poetry night, lights dim, candles are burning, African drums beat.
Not allow you to forget.
Did you kill Sophia?
I hear that little instrument that goes. Shh, shh, shh.
It was a television production company, big facilities. They had studio equipment, and you'd go in and they could produce a full-blown broadcast quality program to run on a television network, big high-ranking, huge studio. And they needed a VP of operations, or, you know, one of the top two or three positions in the entire company.
District of Columbia Pre-Crime Division, I'm placing you under arrest.
Go to sleep.
He takes himself seriously. Hotel rooms have lost their punch for him. Feeling is expressed in bags. There are two, and inside those two, there are two more. It's not an easy situation. There is something like abandon in the air. There is something like the feeling of the idea of silk scarves in the air. There is a kind of madness to it. The kind we read about in magazines. One of the bags contains a bottle of liquor. A sure sign of thoughtfulness about who one might have been. He pours himself a small drink in a fluted plastic glass sans ice. He thinks to himself, if I were from the big time, I would be calm and debonair. The big time doesn't send its riffraff out. He sits on the bed, both feet on the floor. He studies the ashtray and tries to rule out preference. Preferring over not preferring. But he prefers gravity over what I state. Preferring, in this case, Earth. The Earth, as they say. Preferring some state over non-state. Now he grips himself with determination, even knowing that it causes sadness. He is determined to be what? He is determined to be serious. Not for the first time. Not for the first time there is a feeling of a mistake, but too late. He has arrived, and there are rooms, and all rooms are not the same. Some better than others, obviously. A better view, a better layout, better shower, softer bed, not so far from noise, more like home, etc. He lifts the telephone from its cradle. His determination gets stronger, if no clearer, even as he faints in its force. Were it not for our momentum, the inertia of our actions, the constant inspiration of our habits, we could not continue. The will is almost nothing, he thinks to himself. At the sound of the first ring, he hangs up. He pushes down the button and listens to the sounds of the object in his hand.
What's going on?
We may not end up getting there. Like, the people might have gone already. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt before. I was, that's hitting me in the tiara.
The midpoint of your charged viewing cycle. Is it time to charge ahead?
Insert here.
I don't know what it's called, but I like it.
In 1967, I met two men who would always be important in my life, Stokely Carmichael and H. Rapp Brown. Both quickly fell victim to the government's methodical destruction of dissent through borderline lawful means, repeated arrests, prolonged court battles, never-ending legal entanglements. These tactics deprived both Stokely and Rapp of significant time and energy. Each man handled the harassment differently. Stokely eventually left the country, while Rapp fought it out for years, then quietly retreated to a different way of life.
Metaphysics. Walking out away from the periphery. Of course, in this case, the center is where the ice can break a little more easily. This particular version of reality, always interesting reality, I think that's why they call it that. Even this maudlin, middle of the stack, miscellaneous, mediocrity, plain vanilla, Jane kind of version. Your basic cowboys and Indians kind of thing. Wasn't interesting then. But it's our reality, and unless it's a stepping off point, I guess people dig it. Anyway, it was boring then. New metaphysics now, then and always, forever and before the ending and after the beginning, and before that and after the other one, whatever, got it all covered. Time is a motherfucker in this one. As I said, it was kind of maudlin. Space 2. But that's all behind us now, isn't it? We've gone where no man has gone, and that was in the 50s, which is really the 40s. Point of demarcation. It will all become clear with a little time fluidity, a little time traveling, as it were. In Space 2, here we are now. Moving out from the periphery into the center. That will always hold. Assuming that's what we wanted to do. I don't want that cold water. I like temperate. The ever-expanding in-between. Where we're headed. Gary at newmetaphysics.com, of course. And newmetaphysics.com. The cigar-shaped mothership that carries all the little ships. Don't worry, it'll all become clear much, much later. After all the letters home have arrived, after your dog tag's been collected by a sergeant, sent back home. Maybe I'll be buried Japanese style. Standing. Take up less room. In the center.
Stokely Carmichael is the Prime Minister of Afro-America.
The birth of this nation was conceived in the genocide of the red man. Genocide of the red man.
Of the red man. First, our people, then, and only then, me and you as individuals. Our people first. Our people first. We will not fight each other today. We will not fight each other. There will be no fight in the Black House.
It's just about that time that I start to think to myself, even pray. Oh, Lord, please don't let this be another cliche.
Major so far, minor, augmented, and diminished. And now I want to give you one more, the dub.
And our next
author this morning, or this afternoon, is Bill O'Reilly, who I'm sure all of you know. Yeah? See? They're all here for you. It's very clear he is the host of one of the most watched talk news shows on cable television, and he's had a tremendous, long-standing career in television before he is now currently on Fox News Channel, The O'Reilly Factor. But he was at ABC for many years, where he was an Inside Edition. He's won 2 Emmy Awards, and we in book selling and in book publishing are very happy because he's had 2 top of the list books recently. They're absolutely
wonderful. You know, the dreadlock herring, Erykah Badu music soul child, head wrap wearing brother that's, you know, talks like this.
Let me introduce my gorgeous assistant, Miss Van Eyck.
Smogrubdena, in lustiga ansi. Herregud. Smogrubdena, in lustiga ansi.
Mamma.
Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
Don't take the bandages off for 12 hours.
If you take them off before then, you'll go blind.
Understand?
I'm gonna tell me way too much about his childhood or how the white man keeping a brother down. Or use the word molasses in so many forms that I don't even want to put syrup on my damn pancakes. I'm just saying, you see, sometimes for the layman, and in this case I claim to be, spoken word or poetry as is known in its more pop cultural form can be just one meteoric metaphor too much. Too dangling participles too long. Just let out too damn deep. But don't sleep. Matter of fact, I want y'all to peep this. Many of these wordsmiths possess amazing superpowers. With just by throwing words at you, they can send you on cerebral vacations and mind excavations. Dig that. Causing you to imagine or remember. Oh, yeah. Or become inspired. Which for me always poses the question, which is greater, to speak or to be spoken to? To be the parishioner or the preacher? The pupil or the teacher? I mean, we have to understand that words are often the tools that separate us from the fools. So I say to the spoken word artist, I know many of you may try to hide from spoken word or even fake spoken word. Some might try to deny spoken word or Harlem boy shape spoken word. But once a word has got you, then you know it.
Anyway, as I was saying, I don't think I properly introduced myself. My name is Maya Cash.
remind people that the nightly news is brought to them by Maya Cash, not theirs.
From the revolutionaries to the conservatives.
Wonderful. Number one on the New York Times.
The dominant seven sound. Play it up an octave so you can hear it better.
If you take him off before then, you'll go blind. Understand?
In the fridge, there's milk and Greta made you a sandwich. Make sure you drink a lot of water.
How do I find the bathroom?
We're here in Washington, D.C. as counter-protesters. We think it's very important that...
Because you respond subconsciously but aloud by simply saying, I heard that.
But it essentially repeats that. It says nothing about borders. It says nothing. In fact, it says something vague about terminating what's called natural growth in the settlements. But Ariel Sharon, the official man of peace, as he was called by Bush, immediately told the Israeli Knesset that don't worry about it. You can build there for your children and your grandchildren. So my soulful relation with President Bush guarantees that. And that's correct. So what's happening is just a continuation, an extension of the policies of undermining any hope for a peaceful political settlement.
Bathroom? Now that's your right hand. Well, chef and sharing. The kitchen is your left. Don't scratch. Never scratch! Seeing as we're being old pals and all, I'm gonna give you a bonus. It might come in handy. This is a temporary paralytic enzyme. You're gonna shoot this baby up there right on your chin.
What is this?
Oh, it's gonna turn your parade phase into mush. People won't even recognize you, okay? In 30 minutes, it'll tighten up again, but it's gonna hurt like nothing you ever felt before. I'm gonna put this in your goodie bag together with your leftovers. I'm setting up a timer. When it rings tomorrow, you can take off the bandages and get the hell out of here. But not before then or you'll go
blind. I know.
Don't scratch.
Thank you.
You're amazing. Hola.
Hola. Did you get to work all right?
Yeah. No, actually, I had a horrible dream.
You dream you'd never see me again.
I left your apartment. I went downstairs to the car. And my friend, the stalker, had followed me there.
Julie.
Yes. And she wanted to talk to me. And I remember I had this buzz. You know, that buzz from you and me. And I think my mind was still on that terrible drawing of me. But she was upset. I don't know. You know, I got in the car and she drove off a bridge and committed suicide with me in the car.
I thought you were going straight to work.
But I survived. With my arm and my face reconstructed. And what's worse, I can't wake up.
Your house after the party.
Party? What party?
The party. Remember? Red dress, choppy shoes. I spilled something on your shirt. Sweet and sour. I'm the saddest girl to ever hold a martini.
Is recognition of comprehension. Now it's up to you what you do with it. So to the spoken word artist, I give you your props, your kudos, and your standing ovation. Because not only are you the hot butter with the toast, but you now have your own jam. Dig that.
First. He was fascinating and charismatic, with burning, piercing eyes. He was enormously eloquent, and I was very fond of him. A native of Trinidad, who spoke with a slight trace of a West Indian accent, Stokely was a field secretary for SNCC. In 1966, shortly after he became chairman of SNCC, he picked me up at the airport in Birmingham, and we drove to Selma, where he and other SNCC members conferred with me about legal matters, including a possible lawsuit against the segregationist Democratic Party in Alabama.
begin thermal scan on all residences on North Powell.
Havana, go.
I show 27 warm bodies.
Roger that. Confirm 27 warm bodies. What do you think, 4 spiders, 1 per floor?
That's 2-8. I gotta eat.
Residents of 931 Powell, residents of 931 Powell, this is Officer Fletcher of DC Pre-Crime. Under authority of PC Section 6409, we are deploying spiders into your complex.
Scanning,
you guys are in the system. Stay still, baby. Open your eyes. It's
okay. I don't like it. Stay still, stay still.
Hi, everybody. This is Dean
Martin.
And Jerry Lewis. We'd like to tell you all about our latest funniest picture for Paramount.
Of course you mean the caddy.
Of course. You know, Jerry, I don't remember the last time I had so much fun making a picture.
Boy, I'll say. How about that scene when I wrecked the department store that I'm working in?
Yeah, and what about the scene when I come home and find a strange, and I do mean strange, man in my bed, and it turns out to be you?
Tell him about the terrific game of golf I play. Go on, tell him.
Terrific. I've never seen golf played that way before. Crazy, man, crazy.
I hate to brag, folks, but I think the caddy is the funniest picture we've made. No kidding, it's got 90 riotous minutes of howls, gags, fun, and more heartwarming entertainment than you and the family ever saw.
You'll love Jerry and me and Caddy.
Take my word for it, the caddy is the most hilarious picture we've ever made. Come on, join the fun. See Paramount's the caddy.
Yeah, the caddy. Is that all right, you cocksucker?
How was that, you shit-heel?
Without reading it,
I'm with you.
Okay. Next, you
still rolling? Still rolling?
All right, start.
You can cut that bit out.
Okay.
Now, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis, asking you to see our newest and funniest picture to date.
Of course, you mean the caddy.
You bet I do. The caddy is filled with 90 hilarious minutes of howls, gags, fun, and heartwarming entertainment that the entire family will enjoy.
Crazy, man, crazy.
No doubt about it, Dean. This is the funniest picture we've ever made. No kidding, folks. We're sensational. Take my word for it. Come on and join the fun. See Paramount's the caddy. It'll make you shit.
Cut out, make. You ready? He ain't doing a fucking thing. He's just standing there. Now, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis with him. We're Dave and Sally, you cocksucker.
The O'Reilly Factor was 1, and No Spin Zone was number 2, and guess what? Come September, he's ready to come out with a new one. And his new book's going to be called Who
Well,
is Looking
Out TV gets
For
through,
You.
Yeah.
It's published by Broadway
ready?
Books. His publisher,
now,
and
Dean Martin.
It's going
and
to
Jerry
be
Lewis,
all
the post-9/11.
And what is really going to be
oh, he's right, folks. Come on and join us on the most righteous 90 minutes of our righteous
on Doug Jones. And I'm going to be very interested to hear what you have to say. Bill, the microphone's yours.
What is it, the reason?
Thank you, Ms. Schroeder. Good afternoon, everyone.
So I got this guy, and I sent him up there, and he interviewed. And they usually would call you back after the interview to tell you how it went. I said, how'd you do? He said, I don't know. I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? He said, well, it's kind of a different kind of an operation than I'm used to. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I walked in, and there was no one there. I walked through a door, and there were a bunch of guys standing around with holding hands with their heads down going,
Who's Looking Out for You is a very personal book. It's not a political book. I don't write political books. My first the first one was how I arrived at my philosophy.
First of all, the economy. Let me talk a little one thing about the economy. I love statistics because they never lie. Numbers never lie. In the 6 years plus of the two Bushes have been president, there have been actually negative net jobs. Not one new net job has been created. Extrapolating on that, if the Bushes
Now you tell me what the notes are. This is C. So what's this note? This note? This note? The answer is C, E, G, B flat. A dominant 7 chord is simply a major chord, C major, with a minor 7th above the root. The root is C, so a minor 7th. Above the root is B flat.
My dreams are a cruel joke. They taunt me. Even in my dreams, I'm an idiot who knows he's about to wake up to reality. If I could only avoid sleep, then I can't. I try to tell myself what to dream. I try to dream that I'm flying. Something freeing. Never works.
Above the root is B flat.
Thank you.
male fiber on the part of the
Well, it all breaks
no
down.
Part of any senator there.
It all goes back to Thomas Jefferson, who said that you can't have a democracy unless you have a courageous, free, and aggressive media. You can't have it.
Hello, I was a urethra, but in your case, you know that it has to involve the testicles. Now, what it is, that I don't know. You're ruling out an infection, okay? Or you're not? Well, when a man has an infection down there, the sign of infection is pus. Not blood.
Well, you're saying that it's some kind of tumor or cyst. That's what you believe.
It sounds like it could be a cyst.
Journalist. She's a graduate of Columbia School of Journalism. I'm a 38-year veteran of every government agency you can imagine. So this is very... You've got credible evidence here. If you go back...
This is high enough. That's religious Martin and Jerry Lewis. Boom, there's five fucking lines that can't get through it. Come on, 15. This is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis with a reminder to see our newest and funniest motion picture ever, The Caddy.
Oh, he's right, folks. Come on and join the fun in the most wonderful 90 minutes of fouls and gags you ever saw.
We'll be seeing you in Paramount, The Caddy.
Yep, The Caddy.
With a big cock on it.
Problems? Hey, look, I'm in no mood to be fucked with, so do yourself a favor.
There's an explanation for all this, David. You and I know each other. You found me on the internet. I'm here to help you, David.
Who the fuck are you? Why are you following me?
First of all, it's very important that you calm down.
Calm down. Calm down.
You must overcome your fears and regain control. Take a hold of your life again, David. It's as easy as holding that glass. What if I were to tell you that you can take control of all of this, everything? Even me.
Look, I'm straight, okay?
Flapping.
Stokely, who had been doing voter registration for SNCC since 1964, created the Black Panther symbol in response to the white rooster used by the Democrats. And it was Stokely whom I first heard use the term Black Power during a march in Mississippi on June 10th, 1966.
That's if you look at the facts. Of course, if you keep to the vision, well, then you can believe what you like.
What's a cyst, and how does one?
It depends on the cyst. Some cysts will go away by themselves. Some cysts, doctors decide they want to remove because they're afraid it's going to grow.
The caddy is the most hilarious picture we've ever made.
Is withdrawing air from you. So try to picture yourself as the passive recipient of breath. As the universe breathes into you and expands your lungs and chest, let yourself feel the breath penetrating to every part of your body, even your fingers and toes. But just hold that image in mind that you're doing nothing. The universe is breathing into you and breathing out. Try that now.
Hey, come on and join the fun. See Paramount's the caddy.
Get it. Caddy.
Defending this porta potty from people who aren't one of their members. They
didn't ask me, but I am a Free Republic member, so I'm just as glad it didn't come to a confrontation on that, since I'm one of their major graphic providers. Not that they've ever asked permission or anything, but now we're leaving the porta potty, and you'll catch a little bit of sound as we go by.
And stick their noses in it like a puppy on the floor to train them in what safety and freedom and protection of the nation and honesty and facts mean. You have heard facts here today, not just opinions. And shortly those facts will become clear to all. We thank you very much on behalf of FreeRepublic.com. God bless Jim Robinson. Nobody's mentioned his name today. He is the creator of Free Republic. Thank you, and God bless you.
Friends might have done it. They were
calm. And their very small counter protest.
And as you work with your imagination, let the music help you envision the cosmos.
Dedicated to Gil Scott-Heron. Well, he's the man who wrote "The Revolution Will Not Be Televised." And you know how we do in the hip-hop generation, y'all. This is the remix. Your revolution will not happen between these thighs. Your revolution will not happen between these thighs. The real revolution ain't about booty size, the Versaces you buys, or the Lexus you don't drive. And though we have lost Biggie Smalls, baby, your notorious revolution will never allow you to lace no lyrical douche in my bush. Okay? Your revolution will not be you killing me softly with Fuji. Your revolution ain't gonna knock me up without no ring or no plans and produce little future MCs, because that revolution will not happen between these thighs. And your revolution will not find me in the backseat of a Jeep with LL hard as hell, doing it and doing it and doing it well. Your revolution will not be you smacking it up, flipping it, or rubbing it down. Nor will it take you downtown or hopping around, because that revolution will not happen between these thighs.
Right?
And your revolution will not have me singing, ooh, ain't no nigga like the one I got. Your revolution will not be your ass sending me for no VD shot. And your revolution will not involve me feeling your nature rise or helping you fantasize, because that revolution will not happen between these thighs. And oh, no, my Jamaican brother. Your revolution will not make you feel bombastic and really fantastic and have you groping in the dark for that rubber wrapped in plastic. And you will not be touching your lips to my triple dip of French vanilla, butter pecan, chocolate deluxe, or having Akineli's dream, a 6-foot blowjob machine? Okay, you want to subjugate your queen? Think I'm going to put that in my mouth just because you made a few bucks? Please. And your revolution will not be you dyeing your hair platinum blonde, sing about what we going to do all night long, because all you can see is a thong, 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 because that revolution will not happen between these sides. But your revolution makes me wonder, where could we go if we could all drop the empty pursuit of props and the ego and revolt back to our roots, use a little common sense on a quest to make love de la soul. No pretense, but your revolution will not be you flexing your little sex and status to express what you feel. Your revolution will not happen between these thighs, will not happen between these thighs, will not be you shaking and me.
We've ever made. Don't get them, folks.
Eventually faking between these thighs. Because,
listen,
why? Because the revolution, when it finally comes, time. For all of us, is going to be real.
Chatty. Don't make your shit.
So there you have it, freerepublic.com, and their very small counter-protest.
One final comment, because it's getting too late, but this is a really important topic that should be mentioned. Another comment has to do with Europe and Asia, especially Northeast Asia. There's a long-standing problem in post-war international affairs, and that is whether Europe will be subordinated to the United States or will pursue its own path. Okay, Europe's rich place, big place, on the scale of the United States, economies on a scale of the United States, educated and so on, it's conceivable that it might go off on its own path. And that's always been a problem. The United States was in favor of the integration of Europe for all kind of reasons, but it was wary that it might take off on its own. This was described very lucidly by Henry Kissinger when he was National Security Advisor and Secretary of State back in 1973. 1973 was called the Year of Europe, to celebrate the unification of Europe. And Kissinger gave what was called the Year of Europe address, in which he informed the Europeans that they have to understand that Europe has what he called regional responsibilities within the overall framework of order maintained by the United States. In other words, don't think about posing a challenge. You can carry out your, you can take care of, immigration in the Mediterranean or whatever your regional responsibilities are, but it's within the framework of order maintained by the United States. That continues. Europe means primarily France and Germany. That's the industrial financial heartland of Europe. And a large part of the hysteria about France and Germany in the last couple of months, which is kind of interesting in itself, but a large part of the hysteria has to do with concern that Europe might strike out on an independent course as it could. Okay, the same problems are arising in Asia. Northeast Asia, which includes Japan, South Korea, China, Eastern Siberia, is by now, and has been for some years, the most dynamic economic region in the world. Its gross domestic product is considerably larger than the United States. It's growing fast. It has about half the financial reserves of the world. It's a major source of foreign direct investment in and by now out. It's an integrated region, has plenty of resources. Eastern Siberia and China have resources. The industrial countries of the region need the resources. It's a very natural unit. And it's significant, except in military force. It's on a par with the United States and Europe. Well, that's a concern.
Where it all began, and there's work still going on. Steve, welcome to Geek of the Week.
Thank you.
You're the author of Multicasting IP. Now, I know we can do multicasting on Ethernets, and we send a packet out, and several different nodes can receive that at once. Why do we want multicasting at the IP level?
Well, there are two things that multicasting at the IP level does for us. One is it's more efficient for the network and for the sender to send only one copy and have the network replicated where necessary. You also achieve parallel concurrent delivery that way, so it reduces the overall delay of delivery. The second reason why multicast is useful is it's a way to send messages to destinations whose individual address you don't know. So for things like advertising services or seeking out services, various auto configuration or resource discovery problems, it's one way to deal with that.
Is multicasting actually being deployed in the internet? I know you've been working on it a long time. Are we starting to see this become a real service?
David, look at all these people. Seems as though they're just all chatting away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with you?
No.
It's maybe a little premature to call it a real service. It's out there in an experimental mode at the moment. There is the M-Bone, which is a virtual IP multicast network laid on top of the internet, which is reaching about, I don't know, a couple hundred IP networks. I don't know how many sites that represent. Some sites have more than one network. But it's still pretty much an experimental facility. Various service providers are participating in the M-Bone, learning more about it and finding out what the
I'm straight. Okay? David, look at all these people. Seems as though they're just all chatting away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Nothing to do with you?
No.
And yet, maybe they're only here because you wanted them to be here? You are their god. And not only that, but you can make them obey you or even destroy you.
Well, what I'd love for them to do is shut the fuck up, especially you.
The dangers of offering such a service is...
You call it a virtual IP network. Is this not an integral part of the internet itself? This is not just an enhanced version of the internet protocol?
It is. It is an official internet standard extension to IP. The problem is we don't have the IP multicast routing support installed in the existing routers, and we have to transition or phase it in somehow. And so what we're doing is we have islands of IP multicast capability, routing capability, and then we join them up by tunnels, a tunnel being forming a unique, encapsulating a multicast packet inside of a unicast, sneak it by routers who don't understand multicast, and then de-encapsulating it when you get to the next island and then booting it onwards.
You see? You and I signed a contract, David.
Who is the man in the restaurant? Who is it?
I can't.
Can you tell the difference between dreams and reality?
Of course, can you?
Think about it. Think with your head. You signed a contract, did you not?
I signed something.
Was the man in the restaurant there? Accept your body's resistance. Let your head answer.
Yeah.
That's right. Who is Ellie?
I don't know what's real.
What happened that night, David? Somebody died.
I don't want to remember.
You understand you hold the keys to this prison.
It wasn't Sophia.
Who was it?
No.
Who was it?
No!
I'm afraid of you.
Because Northeast Asia also could move on its own towards independence. A lot of fuss now about North Korea. And this is part of what's behind it. I mean, the regional countries, all of them, want to pursue some kind of negotiated diplomatic settlement with North Korea, somehow integrated, a horrible place, but they don't want a war, that would be too awful. They want to move to integrating it into the region somehow.
Passing here and going on out there. New Metaphysics coming by here. Going through a couple of those. Ending up here. New Metaphysics. Throwed itself off the life raft in the middle of the Pacific, threw itself off the life raft of science that does work on the life raft. Otherwise, just some echoes. Just some echoes. Can use it if you want. But I mean, why use a cap gun when you can use a SciTech laser torch? Blow the fucker out of memory. If one were so disposed, bent to it, to that, perhaps to be bent to something else. Not an option on the life raft. Postage size terrain for that system. I'm on the life raft. Therefore, I'm on the life raft. For each oar stroke, there's an equal and opposite Sisyphean reverb. Now I ask you, friends, we can throw that dishwater out with the baby it rode in on. Yes, we can. www.newmetaphysics.com. Files coming directly out of the claims locker at Long Island City PD. Kickback already been paid. $192K stereo. Not bad for science, which still has quite the monkey on the back kind of grip. But loosening. Just a workstation. Might as well climb on a evolving lower life form's back, especially if he's down. Kick him and stand on his back. Get up to the next level. And then undo. Sidestep. Do a hex a move. Get right back on, my brother. I mean, it's laborious talking to a world in a coma. One or both of us. It's tedious. Science and religion. Now I ask you, huh? Thank God for Minority Reports. Everybody suddenly speaks strange and bizarre language I do not understand. And many points beyond, of course. Let's not get caught up in any of these ragas of our times.
This is a dominant seventh sound. I know you've heard it many times in songs. It's one of the most common chords. As a matter of fact, it most certainly is the third most common chord. The most common is major, second most common would be minor, and the third most common would be a dominant seventh chord. What I'd like to do right now, to get that sound in your ear,
killed a 7-year-old girl because they offered a deal before the trial started to lead the police to the body.
And, of course, he's gone on and written some absolutely wonderful things, including...
It was an interesting process with this book. I was asked to be a fellow at the Kennedy School, where you're a graduate, and they at the Shorenstein Center, and they asked me to be a fellow there. I said, what do I have to do? And they said, nothing. But write something, and I said,
could be a cyst.
What's a cyst? And how does one...
It depends on the cyst. Some cysts will go away by themselves. Some cysts, doctors decide they want to remove because they're afraid it's going to grow.
Meryl says she had one in her ovary. Maybe I got it from her. She says it went away.
No, you can't catch a cyst from someone.
What's difficult about these scenes is you could have 10 minutes of conversation, but actually you only want that much. Hitchcock used to do it. He'd put his fingers an inch apart and say you can have that much time to talk about it, because the explanation is kind of dull. You know, I'm sorry, are you all right? It's all that stuff. It's really dull. So you need to compress it the whole time.
And if you are, you should let go. Be there. Pick up. Pick up, please.
Only Mom? Cash.
Hello?
Okay, everything is all right?
What's this, lunch?
It was blocking the lavatory in room 510. It is a heart. A human heart.
What? What the fuck do you know about hearts, Ogwe?
Perhaps you should telephone the police.
Police? You think I should call the police?
Senor Juan, someone is dead.
Okay. You speak to them. You found it? Do the talking. I'll introduce you. What's your full name, Okwe? And you never told me where you're from. Or even, how come you're here in this beautiful country? Hello? Police? Yeah, got somebody wants to talk to you. You will learn, Okwe. The hotel business is about strangers. And strangers will always surprise you, you know? They come to hotels in the night to do dirty things. And in the morning, it's our job to make things look pretty again. For your trouble. You think if you don't take the money, you are innocent? Take it. Do something nice with it.
But of course, the rejection of rationality is something that goes back throughout the history of existentialism. Certainly in Kierkegaard, the idea that rationality is not adequate to answer the questions concerning the choices we have in life.
I'd like to shift our attention in this session from domestic policy to foreign policy. But the two topics are in fact inextricably intertwined in the case of the National Socialists. The NSDAP, and Hitler in particular, had in effect at the core of his own ideological thought a triangular relationship between racial policy, a desire to create Lebensraum or living space for the German people in Central and Eastern Europe, and third, a crusade against Bolshevism in the East. These three things were inextricably intertwined in Hitler's own thinking. A great many historians have tried somehow to separate them out and to argue, was Hitler more anti-Semitic or was he more anti-Marxist? Was he driven to attack the Soviet Union for ideological motives because it was the home of international Bolshevism, or for geopolitical reasons having to do with the desire for what the Germans called living space in the East? I think it's an exercise that's absolutely fruitless. I think in Hitler's own mind, these three things came together. That the desire for a expansion into the East, which is clearly stated in Mein Kampf and into an unpublished book that Hitler wrote in 1928-29 on foreign policy, makes quite clear that his notion was that Germany needed to be self-sufficient, that he wanted to create an economically and strategically self-sufficient Grossdeutsches Reich, a greater German Reich that would be capable of surviving an Allied blockade which had helped to bring Germany to its knees in 1914 to 1918. This meant, above all else, expansion to the East, the creation of a larger Eastern, Central and Eastern European empire. But that expansion east, for Hitler, was more than simply traditional geopolitics. It was different from the Kaiser or Imperial Germany's invasion of the East. Because an invasion of Eastern Europe, and particularly of Russia, with the great breadbasket of the Ukraine, also had an ideological dimension. Russia was the Soviet Union, was the home of international Bolshevism. So that for Hitler, there's a geopolitical element, but also an ideological dimension. A war against Russia would be an ideological war, and an ideological war to the finish. But there was a third dimension, or a third point in this triangular relationship.
Is to simply play a lightning round of major chords, minor chords, augmented chords, diminished chords, and our newest one, dominant seventh chords.
Relationship that was crucial for Hitler. This new Greater German Reich would be a racial entity. It would be an Aryan, racially pure empire, which would provide the seed for the establishment of a master race.
Are you recording this?
Yeah, recording.
My whole business is based on happiness.
Gary.
You gotta see this.
Reservation protocols. I personally do not believe that you need very strict resource reservation to do most of the thing we want to do. I mean, we have been developing video software, we have been developing video experiments precisely because we wanted to gain first-hand experience on that. Because while you read in the papers that you need megabits to do video, you need the resource reservation, and yet you observe that if you just put up a video codec and put that on the internet, provided you have some control on the codec, well, it just works.
What do you mean it just works? Don't you need more bandwidth? Don't you need guaranteed resources? What happens if you drop a packet?
If you look at the video codecs we have today, I mean, if you look at the NV interface of Xerox, or if you look at the IVS interface that we have developed in my team, you will find that there is a button which says, what's the bandwidth you require? And you can place the button anywhere between, say, 2 megabits and something like 20 kilobits. You can even go at a lower speed. Simply what you do is that you can have a continuous quality of service arbitration between better bits and better quality, a crisper image, and more bits in the network or less bits in the network. Indeed, you have a very fine quality if you are sending 2 megabits per second of video. But if you make less bit per pixel, if you spend more time doing more CPU cycles for your compression, then you can have a much lower throughput. So what that means is, if you have this button at the interface now, it means that you can do manual selection of your throughput. The next step, what we are currently researching in my team, is to have a feedback algorithm between on the internet, so that you send your packet, but at the same time you probe the network. And according to what you find as available capacity, then you increase or reduce your throughput. And, well...
Well, you mentioned 2 million bits per second and 20,000 bits per second as two extremes. What would a 2 megabit picture look like? What's the resolution and the frames per second and the shades of gray or color?
Well, currently the highest throughput we have reached was something like 500 kilobits.
Okay. What's that look like then?
It looks like it's look essentially like the precision of a videotape image.
Okay, so is it 30 frames a second? Is that
well, it's not 30 frames a second now. I thought we are getting close. I mean, when we first did IVS on a Sun IPX, we were able to do 1.5 to 2 images per second. If you are using a Sun 10, and that's and especially if you are using a large machine, we can do 4 or 5 images. If you are using a more powerful workstation, top of the class workstation, now you can do something like 10 images per second, which means that the 20 images or 30 images per second is something you will get in, say, 1 year or two.
So the bottleneck there is the CPU, not the network?
Bottleneck is the CPU, yes.
Now, what about 20,000 bits per second? What kind of an image do you get out of the very, very low throughput like that?
The problem you have is that in order to get 20 kilobits per second, you have to do delta encoding. So you only send the deltas. And in fact, you also do data reduction. You send a less complex image. For example, you send a lesser number of levels of gray. You only send gross frequencies.
Are you recording this?
Yeah, but look, it's pouring out of her backwards.
Everything is all right? What's this, lunch?
It was blocking the lavatory in room 510.
It is a heart. A human heart.
What? What the fuck do you know about hearts, Okwe?
Perhaps you should inform the police.
Die Geschichte einer Gesellschaft, die fällt. Während sie fällt, sagt sie, um sich zu beruhigen, immer wieder. Bis hierher lief's noch ganz gut. Bis hierher lief's noch ganz gut. Bis hierher lief's noch ganz gut.
You accept only
Aber wichtig
cash.
Ist nicht der Fall, sondern die Landung.
Accept only cash.
Only cash. Cash. Only cash. Don't forget, you accept only. Don't forget, you accept only. Cash.
You got the door, Ivan. You see who comes and goes. What I mean is, you would know if somebody came into the hotel but did not leave again.
Why would someone not leave over there?
Everyone leaves, okay. Some leave quickly, some stay for a long time.
If you want to stay, don't concern yourself with who comes and who goes.
To see this.
Number 1108.
Case number 1108, pre-visualized by the precogs, recorded on Hollow Sphere by Pre-Crimes Q-Stacks. My fellow witnesses for case number 1108 are Dr. Catherine James and Chief Justice Frank Pollard. Good morning.
Good morning.
Will the witness preview and validate number 1108 at this time?
Affirmative, I will validate.
Okay.
Stand by.
What if it does her in the ass? I'd fuck her. I'd fuck anything. Did you fuck her?
Feel like I killed someone.
David.
I feel like who I'm in a
dream. Was the man at the restaurant. Sometimes the mind behaves as if it were a dream. Faces change. People become other people. The subconscious is a powerful thing. You treated Julie carelessly, didn't you? Your feelings of responsibility or guilt over Julie might have easily turned Sophia into Julie. Do you know what derangement is? I need your help.
All I know is you killed your girlfriend, and I don't know what's in your mind.
I need your help.
I would work on this case forever if I could, but we've run out of time.
What will you plead?
Temporary derangement. That's your best chance. I don't think they'll believe me.
What do you believe?
Believe it or not, I care about you. You've become like family to me.
I don't want to give up on you, David. But I needed more. I needed an answer. I mean, I even thought there was more than a good chance that somebody was playing a trick on you. Maybe it was the board. But I can't exceed my duties. Just a psychologist. And I have to go now.
Well, is she at the trial?
No, I'm just the opening act.
A dog was frozen for 3 months and thawed out to live a normal life. Life extension can translate to the human form too.
How do you accomplish such a thing?
And it must detail its failures. The committees conduct their most important work in closed hearings, or briefings in which security over classified material can be maintained. Members of the Intelligence Committee serve for a limited time, a restriction imposed by each chamber. Members believe these limits prevent committee members from developing the necessary expertise to conduct effective oversight.
In Europe and indeed in the world. So I think that one sees in Mein Kampf, one sees in Hitler's famous table talk.
He's here who can ascertain who has what.
Adam Clayton Powell later claimed that he had coined the expression, but if Stokely didn't invent it, he certainly made it popular. During 1966 and 1967, Stokely traveled all over the world, sparking controversy wherever he spoke. On June 20th, 1966, he startled an audience at Nashville's Vanderbilt University with fiery statements like, "The only way these honkies and honky lovers can understand is when they're met by resistance."
This tunneling mechanism is very inefficient. We end up sending multiple copies of the same packet over the same link, which is what the test is trying to avoid.
I'm too young to grow a beard, but yes, man, it was me you heard. Dirty denim and dark glasses, I look through everyone who passes. But ask him clear, I do not plead. Keys, lids, acid, and speed.
Thank you.
Secrecy, while necessary, can also harm oversight. The overall budget of the intelligence community is classified as...
I don't think it's anything to have a heart attack about. I don't think it's anything serious. I don't think you should...
You told me that it could be very serious.
This is all reversal film. You can see it's very highly saturated.
A road diverges in the desert. Lexus. The road you're on, John Anderton, is the one less traveled.
Good evening.
You can move the old-fashioned way.
John Anderton.
Century 21
Styles provides gourmet cuisine.
John Anderton. You can use a Guinness right about now.
Stressed out, John Anderton.
Escape from it all, Harrison. Get away, John Anderton. Forget your troubles. It's you, John Anderton.
A scrapbook of sound.
That's the way it was, and that's the way it is.
That kids.
Kids. To make sick procedure.
Thank you, boys.
What you waiting for, man? I hear no music.
Thank you for your continuous
sing.
We will now provide 60 seconds of unmodulated grooves.
Ninja. Number one in the world of sound.
We're nothing but the stacks of wax, man.
And it's always changing, and it is always the same.
It's a long road, there's no turning back.
Harm oversight. The overall budget of the intelligence community is classified, as are most of its activities. Thus, the intelligence committees cannot take advantage of democracy's best oversight mechanism, public disclosure. Disclosure. This makes them significantly different from other congressional oversight committees.
You know, Merrill said that, and crossing the street can be very serious.
Very.
Separating into an independent area. And with the resistance to the national security strategy that Eikenberry quoted, this is exactly what's feared, that other parts of the world are going to break out of this system.
People close to Hitler were fond of jotting down his stray thoughts at times, and one sees these published in a number of things, particularly in a book called Hitler's Table Talk, in which it's clear that the linkages are made in his mind, that these three things operate as a single kind of variable. For Hitler, he rarely ever talked about Bolshevism. It was almost invariably Judeo-Bolshevism or Jewish Bolshevism. The two things came together. And his design for Lebensraum, or expansion in the East, was clearly tied to an assault against the Soviet Union.
Disc 9.
He was in the golden country, following the foot track across the old rabbit-cropped pasture. He could feel the short, springy turf under his feet and a gentle sunshine on his face. At the edge of the field were the elm trees, faintly stirring, and somewhere beyond that was the stream where the dace lay in the green pools under the willows. "You have had thoughts of deceiving me," he said. "That was stupid. Stand up straighter. Look me in the face." He paused and went on in a gentler tone. "You are improving. Intellectually, there is very little wrong with you. It is only emotionally that you have failed to make progress. Tell me, Winston, and remember, no lies. You know that I'm always able to detect a lie. Tell me, what are your true feelings toward Big Brother?"
"Areas which could lead to unpleasant conditions if the U.S. really does insist on barring any challenge by violence, as it has stated that it will. Things that I think are right beyond it."
So they don't want, you know, to clean up this stuff because, you know, they're making billions of dollars. The waste, you know, and, you know, obviously, you know, you look at, you know, the mega corporations and, you know, we have the oil industry, the war industry, and the pharmaceutical industry.
We've come to think, after 1945 and our own experience in
running the country right now, and people wonder, they say, well, why don't we have free energy? And it's a no-brainer, you know. And they go, why don't we have...
Defeating the Nazis. Of Hitler having an absolutely unquenchable thirst for expansion.
And that's another no-brainer. And why don't we have the cure into these diseases?
And what the Nazis wanted to do was to...
Why are you comparing it to crossing the street? Crossing the street is a different situation.
What I'm trying to say is that it's useless to speculate because you're not a doctor and I'm not a doctor and I don't know how to diagnose it.
What's the doctor going to do to me?
Well, what is the doctor going to do to you?
Have free energy and it's a no. Basically, you have the oil industry, the war industry, and the pharmaceutical industry that are running the country right now. And people wonder, they say, well, why don't we have free energy? And it's a no-brainer, you know. And they go, why don't we have peace? And that's another no-brainer. And why don't we have the cure?
Why are you sending multiple copies over the same link?
Well, if, for example, my machine here at Xerox PARC has, and my multicast router here has two peers, one in Barnett and one at, maybe at NASA, because the routers between here and those two destinations do not support multicast, I have to encapsulate and send an individual unicast copy to each of those destinations. And there's only one wire that goes out of here, the T1 link from here to Barnett, so there are two copies with identical contents but different destination addresses.
Now, the M-Bone is a global multicast group. Do you think multicasting will, in fact, be used for global communications, or is multicasting going to usually be used within a local environment? Do you have any feel for that yet?
Both.
I hate him. You hate him. Good. Then the time has come for you to take the last step. You must love Big Brother. It is not enough to obey him. You must love him. He released Winston with a little push toward the guards. Room 101, he said. The end of love.
Dance me to the end. But you're often spurred into action by the work of investigative journalists and watchdog organizations. Let me feel the moving like they do in Babylon.
There I will hear their lament and remedy and cure all their miseries. Misfortunes. And sorrow. Dance me to the end of love.
Set tape that had been pulled out of the spools and wadded into a bird's nest of brown plastic. Dance, you go get those papers. I'm going to call the police. Is that a problem?
Dance me very tenderly and dance me very long. We're both of us beneath our love, we're both of us above. Dance me to the end of love.
Well, he's in a laboratory like Frankenstein. Now, to most people in a social situation, a bathroom is to go to the bathroom and to, you know, relieve yourself. Social situations for me, the bathroom is a place to go in and create a personality that fits the crowd that I'm with, so that I can bring this personality back out and participate in the crowd.
Dance me through the curtains that our kisses have outworn. Raise a tent of shelter now, though every thread is torn. Dance me to the end.
Adjusting to the post-Cold War era. The unexpected and rapid end of the Cold War in 1999 created trauma in the foreign policy and national security community, both in and out of government. While some criticized the intelligence community for failing to forecast the collapse of the Soviet Union,
dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Touch me with your naked hand, touch me with your glove. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love. Dance me to the end of love.
Because whoever I am, I can't be that person. I know two things, see? The killers for us is that way down deep inside, we believe at the core of our being that there's something wrong with me. And that in any situation, anywhere, anytime, I am not enough.
After Stokely was arrested that day, he said about the police, "If their armed aggression continues, we will resist by any means necessary."
And its essential structures. In simpler language, we can say being in time is basically a concern about ourselves and the world and how we fit into the world. There are two features I want to talk about, two existential structures, if you like, in this lecture. The first is the nature of knowledge, which of course has been the focus of philosophers since at least the Greeks.
The INS focused on the southwest border, not on terrorists. Justice Department officials told us that committees with responsibility for the
going to check your blood pressure. He's going to... They have, like,
check my car?
Yeah.
It is not enough to obey him. You must love him. He released Winston with a little push toward the guards. Room 101, he said. 5. At each stage of his imprisonment, he had known, or seemed to know, whereabouts he was in the windowless building. Possibly there were slight differences in the air pressure. The cells where the guards had beaten him were below ground level. The room where he'd been interrogated by O'Brien was high up near the roof. This place was many meters underground, as deep down as it was possible to go. It was bigger than most of the cells he'd been in, but he hardly noticed his surroundings. All he noticed was that there were two small tables straight in front of him, each covered with green baize. One was only a meter or two from him, the other was further away, near the door. He was strapped upright in a chair so tightly that he could move nothing, not even his head. A sort of pad gripped his head from behind, forcing him to look straight in front of him. For a moment he was alone, then the door opened and O'Brien came in. "You asked me once," said O'Brien, "what was in room 101. I told you that you knew the answer already. Everyone knows it. The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world." The door opened again. A guard came in carrying something made of wire, a box or basket of some kind. He set it down on the further table. Because of the position in which O'Brien was standing, Winston could not see what the thing was. "The worst thing in the world," said O'Brien, "varies from individual to individual. It may be burial alive, or death by fire, or by drowning, or by impalement, or 50 other deaths. There are cases where it is some quite trivial thing, not even fatal." He had moved a little to one side, so that Winston had a better view of the thing on the table. It was an oblong wire cage with a handle on top for carrying it by. Fixed to the front of it was something that looked like a fencing mask, with a concave side outwards. Although it was 3 or 4 meters away from him, he could see that the cage was divided lengthways into two compartments, and that there was some kind of creature in each. They were rats. "In your case," said O'Brien, "the worst thing in the world happens to be rats." A sort of premonitory tremor, a fear of he was not certain what, had passed through Winston as soon as he caught his first glimpse of the cage. But at this moment the meaning of the mask-like attachment in front of it suddenly sank into him. His bowels seemed to turn to water.
You can't do that," he cried out in a high, cracked voice. "You couldn't! You couldn't! It's impossible!"
"Do you remember," said O'Brien, "the moment of panic that used to occur in your dreams? There was a wall of blackness in front of you, and a roaring sound in your ears. There was something terrible on the other side of the wall. You knew that you knew what it was, but you dared not drag it into the open. It was the rats that were on the other side of the wall."
"O'Brien," said Winston, making an effort to control his voice, "you know this is not necessary. What is it that you want me to do?"
Cryonized patients are currently held at our facility in New Brunswick.
And we feature the finest scientific technicians on the planet.
The book is Life.
Good morning, Mr. McCabe.
I'm Libby. I'm here to assist you.
He's my son. He's very shy.
You're not with the media or part of any legal consortium, correct?
No.
Welcome to Life Extension. Take a look at our proposal. Please follow me.
You can wait out here.
You'll be meeting Rebecca Dearborn, my personal role model.
I didn't need the pain anymore. I already experienced it.
What you do is lay down and die. Life Extension wants you to live.
I love my golf. I love my vintage car.
I don't think that God disapproves.
Life is a risk.
Cryonization, journey of reawakening after the preservation of the human body at extremely low temperatures.
They left to Jules Verne, too.
David, you're not.
Mr. McCabe, how are you? I'm Rebecca Dearborn. Life Extension, or LE as we like to refer to it, is a glimpse of the future. It's a ticket. Not in the juvenile sense, but in the deeply meaningful sense that can only be born in the human heart. The DNA codes of the human body have been broken. Soon, heart ailments, cancer, so much more will be a thing of the past. Very simply, your anguish, your discontent, even your death, is no longer necessary. Is a glimpse of the future. It's a ticket. Not in the juvenile sense, but in the deeply meaningful sense that can only be born in the human heart. The DNA codes of the human body have been broken. Soon, heart ailments, cancer, so much more will be a thing of the past. Very simply, your anguish, your discontent, even your death is no longer necessary. In a traditional
O'Brien
sense.
Made no direct answer.
Whatever malady
when
I
he spoke,
that
it
mask,
was in the schoolmasterish manner that he sometimes affected. He looked thoughtfully into the distance, as though he were addressing an audience somewhere behind Winston's back.
"Within an hour of your passing,"
he said,
"L.E. will transfer your body to a vessel, where you will be sealed and frozen at 196 degrees below."
There are occasions when a human being will stand out against pain, even to the point of death. But for everyone there is something unendurable, something that cannot be contemplated.
"Power outages, earthquakes, nothing will affect your suspension hibernation."
Courage and cowardice are not involved. If you are falling from a height, it is not cowardly to clutch a rope. If you have come up from deep water, it is not cowardly to fill your lungs with air. It is merely an instinct which cannot be disobeyed. It is the same with the rats. For you, they are unendurable.
"Whatever malady hides behind that mask, it's temporary. Within an hour of your passing, L.E. will transfer your body to a vessel where you will be sealed and frozen at 196 degrees below zero. Power outages, earthquakes, nothing will affect your suspension hibernation."
"You signed a contract with these people, David?"
"What's the lucid dream option?"
"Good choice. The lucid dream is Life Extension's newest option. For a little extra, we offer the Cryonic Union..."
A form of pressure that you cannot withstand even if you wish to. You will do what is required of you.
Tendency to push questions of emerging national security threats off its own plate, leaving them for others to consider.
"So what we should have had was first, extended unemployment insurance. They let that lapse at the end of 2002, not because things were actually any better, but because they wanted to pretend that things were getting better. We should have had rebates to lower and middle income people who are cash strapped and likely to actually spend the money. We should have had aid to state and local governments, so you weren't laying off school teachers and firemen in the middle of a recession. And we should have had public spending, you know, port security. Everybody says there are billions of dollars of needed spending there, which would also have created jobs. None of that happened. Instead, you've got this tax cut for the rich, which puts money into the hands of people who are probably not going to spend it. It's on the list of things you can do, this has got the least bang for the buck."
"What is it? What is it? How can I do it if I don't know what it is?"
O'Brien picked up the cage and brought it across to the nearer table. He set it down carefully on the baize cloth. Winston could hear the blood singing in his ears. He had the feeling of sitting in utter loneliness. He was in the middle of a great empty plain, a flat desert drenched with sunlight, across which all sounds came to him out of immense distances. Yet the cage with the rats was not 2 meters away from him. They were enormous rats. They were at the age when a rat's muzzle grows blunt and fierce and his fur brown instead of grey. "The rat," said O'Brien, still addressing his invisible audience, "although a rodent, is carnivorous. You are aware of that. You will have heard of the things that happen in the poor quarters of this town. In some streets, a woman dare not leave her baby alone in the house, even for 5 minutes.
Thank you. Sorry to observe, pretty as a picture. I made the run, let the bomb go. That was my greatest thrill. Made the run, let the bomb go. That was my greatest thrill.
We could destroy him with the atomic bomb. We could destroy him and contaminate them. We could destroy him with the atomic bomb. We could destroy him and contaminate them. We could destroy him with the atomic bomb. We could destroy him and contaminate them.
Talk so well. Or is that just the museum that makes your voice sound like that?
Well, I got my plague inoculation shot recently, and I seem to have had a small reaction to it. It's lowered my voice considerably.
Plague? I'm just recently in the city. I noticed that an unusual amount of people lying around the street with strange sores on their bodies. Is there a plague?
Yes. If you have a chance, I'd check in a medical center and get some inoculation against it. It's been going on for some time now.
And I said, okay, now, if the spineless yellow bastard who's hiding out there in the darkness wants to come up here and come out at me mano a mano, instead of being a little turkey shit and sitting out in the darkness, we will do a little dance. Come on up, you sand.
Tell me, what the fuck is going on with you?
I am missing two of my prized possessions, and you know very well what they are, Gary.
Anybody got an ID? Anybody?
Negative. We've got eyes on. You know Gary?
The rats are certain to attack it. Within quite a small time, they will strip it to the bones. They also attack sick or dying people. They show astonishing intelligence in knowing when a human being is helpless. There was an outburst of squeals from the cage. It seemed to reach Winston from far away. The rats were fighting. They were trying to get to each other through the partition. He heard also a deep groan of despair. That, too, seemed to come from outside himself.
For a little extra, we offer the cryonic union of science and entertainment.
Take one.
Quiet, please.
Recording.
Go again. I found a way to cook.
Take two.
I found a way to cook extra. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different, and yet it's just as tender and tasty. No, and it's just as finger-licking good. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy. I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chicken crust. Yet it's entirely different.
This will be Wild Lines 30. Take one.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. He said, cut it.
Go ahead.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. Yet tender and juicy. Is that it? Yeah.
It's better.
Take two.
Okay, we're recording.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe.
Take three.
It's entirely different. It's entirely different.
Are you recording this?
Yeah, but look, it's pouring out of a backwards.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let me get that scratched off there and quit looking at it.
Quiet, please.
That real crusty, real what kind of damn crispy crust.
Backwards.
It's really different. Now you can have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe and my new extra crisp. New extra crispy, I thought I said that. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. It's entirely different. Had every bit of finger-licking good, you see. No, every bit of finger-licking good. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down to get that real crispy crust some folks like. I better do that again, huh?
Yes, all right.
Mike, and I said, okay, now if the spineless yellow bastard who's hiding out there in the darkness wants to come up here and come out at me mano a mano, instead of being a little turkey shit and sitting out in the darkness, we will do a little dance. Come on up, you piss ant. Where are you? Nothing moves. Nobody. And people. I said, okay, now that we know who's got the balls and who doesn't, I will proceed with my evening. And I did 2 hours.
Whoa! Damn, Harlan.
Well,
high noon.
High noon.
Don't take that train to town. Damn.
You don't want me to sing, do you, for Christ's sake?
We're rolling. It's the good one. Take five.
Most folks have heard about.
All right, that's good. Good, very nice.
Be quiet and close the door.
I got an ID. It's not him.
Standing down.
Let's see.
That's why folks call it finger. Am I that? No.
Sounds good.
That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. That's why folks call it finger licking good. I'm not getting anywhere with this damn thing.
Okay, fine.
This is like, I have never been smart enough to stay out of trouble.
My favorite thing was years ago someone wrote you that letter. Oh, you'd written something about a midget.
I get a letter from some joker. Call him Joe Calistoga for want of a better name. And he says, dear sir, dear Mr. Ellison, you are always using, they always say you are always, you know.
Yeah, every time.
1,700 stories and I always, you are always. He's talking about midgets and dwarfs and midgets and making them villains and blah, 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 blah. We don't like to be called midgets. We like to be called little people.
Two
good DNA lines and everything else is junk DNA. It's not junk DNA, it's just not activated.
We offer the cryonic union of science and entertainment.
Cryotainment.
Some find this presentation helpful.
I have a universe inside me.
Portrait of a modern human life. American, male, birth, and death. Imagine that you are suffering from a terminal illness. You'd like to be cryonized, but you'd rather be resurrected to continue your own life as you know it now. L.E. offers you the answer. Upon resurrection, you will continue in an ageless state, preserved, but living in the present, with a future of your choosing. Your death will be wiped from your memory. Your life will continue as a realistic work of art, painted by you, minute to minute, and you'll live it with the romantic abandon of a summer day, with the feeling of a great movie, or a pop song you always loved, with no memory of how it all occurred, save for the knowledge that everything simply improved. And in any instance of discontent, you'll be visited by technical support. It's all just around the corner. The day after tomorrow. Another chapter begins seamlessly. A living dream. Life extensions promise to you. Life, part two. A living dream.
Your death will be wiped from your memory. I guess I missed that one in USA Today.
A dream. What if there was a mistake? What if the dream became a nightmare?
Of course, your subconscious can always play tricks on you. The subconscious is a very powerful thing.
Did you sign a contract with these people, David?
But this is a serious business. The lucid dream is worth the risk.
The second is the notion of the self, which in the terms that we're going to be speaking essentially has been the main concern of philosophy since at least Descartes. What concerns me is the way that Heidegger wants to examine, and again I will make the apology, the basic structures of experience, a term which again he would reject, and what he wants to say is that if we look at the basic structures of experience, or what he would call our primordial take on the world, what we find, as we saw in the last lecture, is that we don't find ourselves as a consciousness, as a thinking thing, but rather we find ourselves as being in the world, in which world and ourselves, Dasein, are utterly inseparable.
These people, David.
But this is a serious business.
See, while necessary, can also harm oversight.
Why would it be? Yeah, no reason. Grab those papers now. Nothing is trash until I look at it, eh? Overstood, bruh. Thomas said, grinning back at Nate as he headed out into the sun. Once outside, he turned and called, "Hey, Kahuna Queen." "What?" "How come them humpies sing like that?" "What do you think?" Nate asked. And in the asking, there was hope.
O'Brien picked up the cage and, as he did so, pressed something in it. There was a sharp click. Winston made a frantic effort to tear himself loose from the chair. It was hopeless. Every part of him, even his head, was held immovably. O'Brien moved the cage nearer. It was less than a meter from Winston's face.
"This is a serious business."
And once you start activating these DNA lines, you know, one of them is for telepathy. One of the DNA lines is for seeing the future. Another one is for regeneration. Your body can start regenerating very quickly. And each DNA line has qualities to it. And the more these DNA lines start opening up, and some of the children have some of these lines open, you're going to see all kinds of phenomenon happening in the future. It's you know, DNA isn't fixed, it's evolving, it's changing. And they actually found a lot of yogis, when they studied their DNA, they actually had 24, sometimes higher, codons activated on those two lines because of the spiritual practices that they were doing.
Dasein are utterly inseparable. But to even talk about knowledge is to enter into a domain which philosophers, according to Heidegger, have not understood at all.
The lucid dream is worth the risk.
And what is any life if not the pursuit of a dream? The dream of peace, the dream of achievement, the dream of hearing someone say these words when they really, truly mean them. I love you, David. Take care.
And the way the sunlight plays upon her head.
Roam free, David. Most of us live our whole life without any real adventure to call our own. It's hard to comprehend, but they laughed at Jules Verne, too.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me
revolution of the mind.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitation.
It's a nightmare!
In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom moon. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the...
Yes!
Good vibration.
I live in the American Gardens building on West 81st Street, on the 11th floor. My name is Patrick Bateman. I'm 27 years old. I believe in taking care of myself, in a balanced diet, and a rigorous exercise routine. In the morning, if my face is a little puffy, I'll put on an ice pack while doing my stomach crunches. I can do 1,000 now.
Two of them. Annette grabbed Lynn's wrist and pulled her over to the apartment window ledge overlooking the cityscape. Time to get you ready for a little drive in the country, girl. Yes, ma'am. Lynn stood obediently before the much younger woman, her fingers laced behind her head as Annette unzipped the skirt, letting it fall to the floor and puddle around her ankles. Lynn tried to look straight ahead, biting her lip as Annette pulled harshly at the trimmed, dark cunt hairs, her nails probing sharply at her cunt lips, pulling them roughly to one side. One fingertip ran down the inside of a lip, the fingernail teasing it and then up and over the clit, now erect. Lynn shuddered. Annette dragged the finger slowly under Lynn's nose, her fragrance now embedded in her mind. Lick. Lynn licked the length of the finger, pacing herself and trying to resist the urge to squirm before Annette. Begging her for more, she tried to suck. Oh, no, you don't. What a slut. You have a long way to go this afternoon before you get to do that. Yes, ma'am. Step out of that skirt and peel off that blouse. Lynn kicked the skirt a bit where it had hung up on a strap of her heels, then unbuttoned the blouse, the silk sliding down her arms behind her until the fabric slid off to join the skirt on the floor. She started to take the bra off. No, wait. Annette pulled the cups down firmly under Lynn's breast, causing them to stick out more pertly than before. This would be the perfect time for somebody in another building with a telescope, she thought. Her hands back up behind her head shifted her posture, her breast thrusting forward, ass back, telling anybody that she was craving the treatment, as was true.
Where's Garrett?
Annette smeared some ointment around the nipples and areola, pinching and pulling at them, letting them snap back, not satisfied until she produced a groan from Lynn. She pulled out the bra cups, dropped a big gob of the ointment in the tip of each, pulled the cups back up over Lynn's breast. This should keep a girl's tits busy for a while.
I have magical power.
Anywhere, anytime, I am not enough. And those feelings do not change from alcoholics to dysfunctional families. They are the same for children raised in alcoholic homes as for children raised in dysfunctional homes. Down deep underneath it all, we have a secret.
They found out that the spiritual practice that they did actually activated more of the codons along the DNA line. So that came out of the genome experiment.
David Ames. I think it's time we had a proper introduction. I'm Edmund Ventura from the Oasis Project, formerly Life Extension, LE.
Tech support?
Yes. Yes, I'm your tech support. And we first met 150 years ago.
Oh, shit. You sold me the lucid dream.
Well, what the hell happened? I tried to warn you in the bar, David. I told you must exercise control of yourself, that it all depended on your mind. All of this. Everything is your creation. And now we're heading towards your true moment of choice.
True moment of choice?
Yes.
When did the lucid dream begin?
Do you remember the day of the nightclub?
We'll meet up soon.
That night, after Sophia left you and you fell asleep on the pavement, that was the moment that you chose for the splice.
Splice?
Splice. The end of your real life and the beginning of Ellie's lucid dream. Splice of many, many years which passed while you were frozen and dreaming. From the moment you woke up on that street, nothing was real in a traditional sense.
Open your eyes.
Your lucid dream is monitored by Life Extension and a panel of experts who are following your every thought. Even at this moment. Forgive me, I'm blowing your mind.
Not a big fan of heights.
I know. We erased what really happened from your memory.
Erased?
Replaced by a better life. Under these beautiful Monet-like skies.
My mother's favorite.
A better life because you had Sophia. And you sculpted your lucid dream out of the iconography of your youth. An album cover that once moved you.
An album cover?
There are some things that you're not old enough to understand just yet.
A movie you saw once late at night that showed you what a father could be like.
Avant de vous connaître tous les deux, je ne riais jamais. Je faisais des tests comme ça.
Or what love could be like. This was a kind woman, an individual, more than your equal. You barely knew her in your real life, but in your lucid dream, she was your savior.
What happened in my real life? Something happened. What did you erase?
Do you really want to know?
Tell me everything.
The morning after the nightclub, you woke up on that street, hungover and alone. He got up and he walked away. He never saw Sophia again.
I didn't kill Sophia.
No.
But then somebody died.
You longed for Sophia. You shut yourself away for months. You were alone. You couldn't stand the pain anymore. Headaches. You could barely function.
I found you on the internet. I signed a contract with you, and then somebody died. It was me.
December, you gave yourself to us. You're now in a suspended state. Your subconscious did create problems.
Blins and some of troops on rocket-propelled skates. All drawn on the backs of old dinner menus. Right, said the colonel. I'll have the brown Windsor, roast beef and two veg. Father and son were then shown the door, the windows, and finally the street. My father objected. You fool! By rejecting these inventions, you put 2 years on the war. Good, said the colonel. I wasn't doing anything. Father left. With his head held high and his feet held higher, he was thrown out. He took war very seriously. As time went on, so did Neville Chamberlain. He took it so seriously, he resigned.
Your dream turned into a nightmare. The glitch has been corrected.
So all I have to do is imagine something. Like if I wanted McCabe to come back right now.
Dave! Listen to me. These people are dangerous. We're in trouble. We need to get off this roof now. We're now on pause. And you're about to return to your lucid dream.
Pause?
With all the upgrades, you won't remember any of this. Nor will you be charged for technical support. It's now your moment of choice. You can return to your lucid dream and live a beautiful life with Sophia or whomever you wish. Or you can choose the world out there.
The world out there. And you can bring me back.
Your face and body can be fixed now, of course. But things are very different now. And your finances won't last long. Your panel of observers are waiting for you to choose. There are no guarantees, but remember, even in the future, the sweet is never as sweet without the sour.
How do I wake up?
The decision is yours.
And I chose this scenario, didn't I?
Yes. To face your last remaining fear of heights.
David, don't listen to him. You were right. It's a setup. You can't trust him.
Don't feel bad for him, David. This winning man is your creation, and it's in his nature to fight for his existence, but he's not real.
I'm real. I'm real. I have two daughters. And you know that.
What are their names?
I'm real. I'm mortality as home entertainment. This cannot be the future. Can it? Can it?
It's been a brilliant journey of self-awakening. And now you've simply got to ask yourself this. What is happiness to you, David?
I want to live a real life. I don't want to dream any longer. Every passing minute is another chance to turn it all around.